We love hip hop.
Yeah, man. It's good to do content where, you know, content creators can collaborate together and you know, bounce ideas off of each other, points of views.
Yeah.
Especially when I see you guys are evolving in your space.
Yeah.
Right? It started from my view of the content in the beginning as more of a financial literacy space.
Yeah.
And now you guys are starting to get into different pockets of the game. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
So, okay, let's get into the introduction here and then we'll get into our conversation, right? Because I feel like I've been saying this over and over again for 2024. We've interviewed a lot of rappers on the network. Okay, don't get it twisted. Big salute to all the artists that have popped up. But I love having conversations with content creators, bro. Yeah. It's just so much of I feel more of a fruitful conversation for the audience to be able to catch jewels from. So I'm really excited to be able to get this popping today.
Okay.
So let's get it popping. It's your boy Friday Ricky Dread here with another interview for your head top. Before we get into it, I want to give a big salute to the sponsors. Big salute to Diamond Club. Okay, for delivery of some of the loudest loud across the GTA, hit them up on their Instagram page, DiamondClub_Canada. Okay, best loud, best edibles, pens, anything you need. You could also use the code WeLoveHipHop and get yourself a little discount. You know what I mean? If you want some of that grabba, hit up Steaming Hot Grabba, delivery across the GTA, and they got some of that grabba in some of the stores in the West End. Okay, hit up Steaming Hot Grabba on Instagram if you want to get some of that grabba delivered to your door, and use the code WeLoveHipHop for a little discount. Last but not least, for my people in Ottawa, as well as the people in the GTA, if you want a lot of different legacy blends like Sixpence, Astro Pink, all those different blends, and their own strain, hit up Only Loud, delivery across the GTA and across Canada as well. Hit them up on their Instagram page, Only Loud Canada, and you can find them on Snapchat, onlyloud.ca. So, I got these gentlemen in here. Y'all might have been seeing them. For my people in Toronto who are on these Instagram streets, you know, you might have seen them reposted on the different blog pages, especially during that time when they had Dr. Umar on the show, you know what I'm saying? And
yep.
and that gentleman right there, he just gains a lot of traction. Mm-hmm. But to me, you guys have been doing your thing before the Dr. Umar show, mm-hmm. right? So I want to introduce these gentlemen here to the We Love Hip Hop audience. With no further ado, I want to welcome Alex Whitfield and IX, what's the number that?
My name is Isaac. But
Isaac, right?
Yes. My company is IX, IX Photography and Videography.
Okay.
IX stands for the number 9.
Okay.
Yes,
yeah. Because I don't be good with the Roman numerals and shit like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but we're rebranding. It's going to be a new thing just now.
Right. And that's the hustle over everything on Instagram, 24/7 hustle.
Yes, sir. 24/7 okay. Hustler.
Before this, what were you guys doing as far as and maybe still do as far as regular life stuff? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So the platform started off as a business platform.
Mm-hmm.
You know, me and my past business partner, Owen, came together to create the business. And we started interviewing entrepreneurs,
mm-hmm.
Thought leaders, things of that nature. And we've been bubbling with that for a minute, you know?
Yeah.
And just been hustling, trying to get the next guest, get the next interview, and just keeping it going throughout the pandemic. It literally started a month before the pandemic. And
Yeah.
It was tough.
And before I continue with my next question, you, Isaac, were you always in the production side of things before you got into the show specifically?
Yeah, well, that's how I got into the show.
Mm-hmm.
These guys linked me one day. Randomly out of nowhere, I had no connection to them, and they holler at me to do a random shoot.
Mm.
Yeah. Low budget, horrible setup.
Yeah,
it was really bad. But I saw what they were doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Two black men. It was actually an event for black entrepreneurs,
mm-hmm.
and it was kind of my first time being in that space. So they invited me there, then they linked me to come back, and for some reason I said yes. And, you know, a couple years later. I've been shooting the pod since that day, and now I'm more kind of on the screen with it.
Yeah. And You know, before I even get to my next question, like just off the top, I'm thinking like, you know, when it comes to locations, you just mentioned like you guys were first filming, like it was a grimy location. Where was that specifically first?
Oh, it was online. Actually, even before that, it was at the Ryerson SLC, you know, just in the library, trying to get it. And yeah,
grassroots potting.
Grassroots, man. So like the camera would only like last 10 minutes. So every 10 minutes you have to get up and like turn it on, turn it back off. It was a whole thing. It was horrible, man. Then we went virtual with it for a minute, especially with the pandemic, because that was the only option. So we was rocking it on Zoom with like horrible haircuts and trying to figure it out, bro. So yeah, that's how it started off.
So is it safe to say that the pod really started catching its legs or its birth during the pandemic?
For sure.
Because I'm looking and I'm seeing like, even during that time, business videos were starting to become very popular, like getting your finances together. Yeah. Everybody was getting CERB and all types of extra money. Nobody knew what to do with it. Was that the time when like, you know, this is a good time to start giving advice on finance?
For sure. And I never came to be a financial expert. You know, we're just curious about like what to do.
Yeah,
so all right, everyone's at home. Let's find the people who are doing things with their money.
Yeah, yeah.
And interview them and see what's good. You know, so we luckily started coming across people who were doing it in the real time and were making content around it.
Mm.
And yeah, we found them and got them on the show and things started bubbling from there.
Yeah, man.
Our small win that started things off was getting David Mullings on. So he's like the right hand to Stephen Lee Chin.
Okay.
And Stephen Lee Chin is like the only black Jamaican billionaire.
And
we had him on talking about what's popping in Jamaica. You know, like, is Jamaica an infrastructure prone country that can grow into like a Singapore?
Mm-hmm.
And that like did numbers for us. That was like our first big blow. And yeah, that made us number one in Jamaica for podcasts, top 20 in Canada for business podcasts. And I was like, oh shit, we have something, you know?
Yeah. Just another like off-brand question. Like, are we, you know, post-pandemic, right?
Yeah.
Was the move that the government was doing with our finances something that got us to where we are now? Because remember, they were giving out mad money at one point. Everybody's getting two racks a month.
I say every single chance I get to say it.
Mm.
I thank God for the pandemic. Like that changed my life. And it wasn't the government giving me money. I think it was just the fact that everything shut down and everybody got a chance to sit back and say like, what am I really going to do
with
life? Like a year before the pandemic, I had quit my job and said, after this year of being on EI, I'm going to figure something else out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do something else. Bro, the year came and it was the pandemic. It was COVID.
Yeah.
As soon as the year came and I had to really be like, am I going to go back to work for somebody? Am I going to go? What am I going to do? And I weighed my options and that's when I picked up the camera. So I think just in general, the pandemic was really the time for everybody to have that kind of entrepreneurial spirit, that mindset. If you really had it in you, it came out during the pandemic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So.
Yeah. You think also, you know, you go before, you have something on that also, Alex?
No, I completely agree. During the pandemic, man, that was the biggest traditional moment for me, bro. Like, I was working at Post Media.
Okay.
And I was like, I was there when George Floyd happened. Basically, National Post, which was the conservative media of Canada, the Fox of Canada, right? And I was seeing all types of fuckery going. Remember when Pressa was on the Toronto Sun?
I remember that. Yes, yeah, bro. And they put some nonsense on that shit.
Oh no, you're talking about Houdini.
Nah, it was Pressa. Pressa. Houdini was on there too, though.
They did that with Houdini as well.
They did some crazy.
But I remember
wild
there was
title.
One with Pressa, I believe, too.
Okay.
It's a title. Something.
They gave him some bullshit. Then Pressa had like the photo of him holding the newspaper.
Because
Toronto Sun was like known to be on some racist shit. So I was there and I was trying to like figure out ways to internally like make some shit happen. And that shit was not happening. I was like, oh, they ain't playing no games.
Yeah, yeah.
I gotta get out of here.
You were trying to Van Lathan a spot.
Exactly, bro. I was trying to be Van Lathan, and just like it, that shit didn't work.
Yeah.
You had to learn the hard way. So I was like, all right, let me get out of this thing. So,
man. You think even like the way financial content was being given out during that time, right? Like in the pandemic time. Were people more receptive to it at those times than they are now?
100%. I think, let me just touch on it first. Right, I know you have a lot, but I think now so much of it didn't work for people.
Mm.
So it's hard for people to tap into that financial content. Like even me, I was shooting these guys like, bro, I don't want to hear this shit right now. Like this guy is a millionaire.
Yeah, yeah.
He has the luxury to, you know, say this. Like for me, my company was growing and I was like sitting there like, I don't really want to hear this millionaire guy talk about how you can do this, that. It's not that easy. Mm. So I think even for me as an entrepreneur, a lot of that content was very hard to digest. Mm. And then you have certain characters within that field who take advantage of it. And they're clearly now doing it to make money.
So
it was hard for me to kind of take it seriously. But one thing that I respect about these guys is that they were really doing it because they actually wanted to provide the information to people who may not have the opportunity to go and look for it themselves, or they have the opportunity, but they rather listen to a podcast than go read a book.
So
when I seen that from these guys, I'm like, you know what? I have to start rocking with this because they're trying to give people that look like us a different message as to what's out there for the youth, for people that are growing, for young adults, whoever it is, they're really trying to provide the message from the people who have already done it.
Yeah.
And that's how I've got all my information. I just go up on YouTube and look at somebody who's already done it, who's already successful in it. And I learn from them. I might not take everything, but I promise you can take one thing. So from that's where I saw value in working with these guys because they're really serious about providing the message to Black people.
And with you, Alex, like, in like you got the back end of the YouTube channel, you get to see all the analytics and stuff, right? Is there a big percentage of people that are tapping in from Toronto that are digesting the content, or are you seeing a bigger American audience?
Man, so I gotta go like pre Dr. Umar to post Dr. Umar.
Okay.
Before Dr. Umar, it was all Toronto, all Toronto. Now after Dr. Umar, it's like 70-60% American.
Wow,
depending on the video. Yeah. So yeah, Dr. Umar like really showed us like showed us to America for sure.
Yeah. What's y'all thoughts on Earn Your Leisure? Okay, because Earn Your Leisure during the pandemic, boom.
Yeah.
Started doing seminars and all types of shit. You know what I'm saying? They were the guys. And now I've been watching videos. I keep up with a lot of different angles and corners of these YouTube screets.
Yeah.
I've seen the videos on Earn Your Leisure and the decline of Earn Your Leisure. What are y'all thoughts on that? And what can maybe they do to, what are your thoughts on maybe why they declined and what can they do to bounce back?
So I think actually what's happening with them isn't just like decline in terms of their platform, but it's like the overall money atmosphere, bro. Like first off, shout out to them. You know, Troy Rashad,
Ian,
they're doing their thing. You know, they built like a billion-dollar brand in like 3-4 years. Like,
yeah,
for Black men to do that, like, you got to salute.
Yeah.
I think they are creating a path in real time. So like they're gonna have times where they are fucking up here and there, but that comes with the territory of making a new path. You know, so like I respect them and when what they've built, and they've shown us like them, Wallow and Gilly, like they've shown us ways of how to really make money as creators, you know, from creating a Patreon, the events, merch, things of that nature. So I salute them. But to your point, like, I think the overall, like, America was like, yo, we're tired of this content. We're tired of financial content. But when something financial happens, when Trump gets elected, they're like, Indonesia, what should we do? You know what I'm saying? So like, it's almost like academics, like his streams might go up and down. But when Drake happens, when Drake and Kendrick happens, they're like, ah, what's happening?
What's up? Yeah.
What's happening? You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like that same thing.
Yeah. You got something on
that? Yeah, like, you gave a great answer.
Yeah.
Here comes the bullshit. Let's go.
Turn up.
You gave a great answer, bro. But I'm going to be completely honest. And the thing is, I respect them. They're legendary for what they did mm. and what they do. And they are very valuable to Black people as a whole. So I don't want to take away any of that. But I feel like a lot of that shit, sometimes it gets to the point where people are starting to see through super certain shit. And it moves from trying to give wealth to you to clearly
to be
gaining wealth for yourself.
Yeah.
The thing is, you have to understand your crowd. We don't like that shit.
Mm.
Clearly, Black people don't like seeing Black people successful.
That's crazy.
So I think it would have been more beneficial for them to just hone in. Look at Gilly and Wallow. I will see Wallow get a Benz or see Gilly get the new Philadelphia Eagles truck.
Mm.
And I'll genuinely be happy because I don't see them flaunting their stuff.
Like
I'd still look at them like the guys from the hood. They still act like the guys from the hood.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't respond to that in that way. But when you see Earn Your Leisure, who started off literally recording off their phone, to having interviews in a friggin'
hangar.
Yes, you have to show us that you're making money in order to give us information about money. Yes, but it gets to a certain point where now it looks a little bit non-genuine. Then when I've been to their events, like I see how they move.
Yeah, InvestFest. Yeah,
I've been to their events that they've had in Toronto, in the city, their after parties and stuff like that. I've seen situations that I just wasn't necessarily a fan of, but I can't disrespect them because they are valuable to the culture.
Like
you said, when it comes time to the money talks, now we have people to be like, what do we do?
Yeah.
Because they're a trusted voice because of the content that they've put out so far. But certain shit, I feel like they could have stayed away from and kept that culture home feel. Because you know what Black people like. We show it every day.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what we want to see. So it's like, but you're right. They're creating a path at the same time. And I definitely have to give them the respect for that. But
No, well said. Yeah. And salute to the whole squad over there, right? Yeah. One thing you did mention, and it made me think, like, Trump did get elected, mm-hmm. right? They're going to go to like Earn Your Leisure and different people for financial advice and just what they're saying on the financial condition of America. What about us? Do you think Trump's election is going to affect us on a financial level?
For sure.
And tell me how, because I'm trying to get some money out of here, bro.
I mean, Trump's big on crypto. So like crypto's going crazy right now.
Yeah, Bitcoin's going up.
For sure. And I'm not a financial expert, you know. But from the interviews we've done and what we've learned, you know, of course, Bitcoin is going crazy. Crypto's going crazy. Mm-hmm. It's putting Elon Musk in position, and that's one of the things he's a big proponent of. So that's one thing that I think is a big thing. I think Canadian manufacturing might see an increase, you know? Mm. So I think that's something that could be really big. I think what's going to affect us though is tariffs, you know? Because they're going to be adding tariffs to all of our products to try and incentivize people to make whatever in the US.
Yeah. So, and break down the tariff things to me, because like I hear them talking, you know, Trump, we're going to add more tariffs.
And yeah.
I'm like, good, bad? I don't know. Yeah. I'm dumb. You know what I'm saying?
All right. So I actually went to school for this. So hopefully I can explain it to you in a good manner and see if my degree was worth the money. So basically, let's say a pair of shoes, right?
Mm-hmm.
A pair of sneakers cost like $100.
Okay.
Right? And they come from China, right? You want to sell it for $150. Right? But now there's a tariff on it for 10%.
Okay.
So the tariff is the business owner that pays for it.
Mm.
So if you want to get those pair of shoes from China for $100, the cost now goes up to $110.
Right.
So now you're like, all right, where can I get that $10 back? Because at scale with a ton of shoes, that's going to add up.
It's a lot of
$10. It's a lot of $10, you know? So you're like, all right, maybe I make my shoes in America to get that $100 continuously.
Right.
You know?
And not have to pay the extra 10.
Extra 10, exactly. Right. But now, here's the thing, though. Here's what no one's going to be telling you, right? Is that to make those shoes in America, you have to get the materials for that shoe. Get what I'm saying? And here's the thing, too. Even if it's made in America, even if it says made in America on it,
right?
The law says it has to be at least 60%. So 40% can be from other places.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So you can get that the lace is imported from China.
Right.
The bottom imported from Singapore.
Mm-hmm.
And you still have to pay for those to be imported, bro.
You still have to pay tariffs.
So you have to pay the tariffs on the raw materials. You see what I'm saying, bro? Mm-hmm. So it's like, how is that going to be beneficial for the people?
Yeah.
And here's the thing too, is that they're saying put tariffs on China, right? But where's your sneakers usually made? Does it say China on it? Does it say Portugal? Does it say Mauritius? There's a whole bunch of other places that people can go.
Yeah.
So they're saying put tariffs on China. But the fact is, it's a global world.
Mm.
You can go to Africa to get your shoes done. People do that. People go to Vietnam. Because bare times, there used to be a time where your shoes were made in China. Then you look at your Nikes and it's like, yo, Vietnam now?
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
I've seen Portugal on Nikes too.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly, bro. So it's like, are you just tariffing China? Are we tariffing everybody?
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And Canada, one of our biggest exports is steel. You know, we do big business with the U.S. in steel.
Yeah.
So it's like, what's that going to happen? That could affect our dollar.
Mm.
And our dollar right now is struggling.
Doo-doo.
Do what?
Donkey.
Get up.
Get up.
It's struggling,
I want to check while you guys are explaining, but keep going.
Yeah.
It just went down more, actually.
So it's going down. So it's like, if there's more tariffs on our products that we're selling to America, you know, we big on selling oil from Alberta. Big on steel. So if those relationships get hurt, that could be a big issue.
Yeah.
You know? And of course, what Trump did when he was in office, when he was 45, is he rebranded NAFTA to the UMCA.
Right? Okay.
Or USMCA. Which is basically NAFTA rebranded, right? And all that really did was change how cars are made. Have you seen what the car industry is like nowadays?
Bro.
I know the electric car thing is starting to become real big. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But buying cars right now, things are like, the car industry is messed up.
Can't
right
even
now.
Find the cars. People, yo, dealerships are buying people's cars back.
Exactly. Really?
They'll pay you for your car so that they can go sell it to someone else.
Exactly. It's that bad,
it's
man?
It's that bad. Mm-hmm. Even when I was searching for a car, I wanted to get something for like 10 grand. You know, that would be a good car. Like A to B.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good A to B. Bro, I typed in, I went on Auto Trader.
Auto Trader, y'all.
10 grand. Fab, if you gave me a shopping cart with a lawnmower engine on it, it would have been better than what I seen.
Wow.
Cars that don't even work.
Yeah.
10 grand.
10 grand.
10 grand.
Yeah.
Cars that don't even work.
If back in like, in my time, let's say like in the early 2000 times when I was out there really jugging and shaking, 10 grand to get you... Let's say in 2006, you could maybe get yourself a 1999 in nice condition. 10 grand? Holy shit, man. Probably even a 2002. Yeah.
Facts.
For real, though. Facts. Like now, to get a car for real, you have to kind of know. You have to find a link.
Yeah.
Like, yo, I have a budget that has a link on a good cars. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's due to the lower amount of manufacturing, or is it because of the tariffs?
Boom. So NAFTA was the, you know, North American Free Trade Agreement that was between America, Canada, and Mexico, right?
Okay.
One of the big proponents of that was that Mexico would be the ones making a lot of the car parts.
Mm.
So Mexico, of course, has cheap labor and cheaper parts.
Right.
But we can never tell. We were just like, the car drives.
Yeah, yeah.
But Mexico was one of the bigger ones that was creating the parts.
Mm.
But that was fucking up all the Detroit automakers, automakers in the U.S., so they were like, yo, why are we giving Mexico all these dollars?
Yeah.
And Mexico's building up their cities off of this, you know? So Obama was like, yo, the NAFTA, it was botty. Like the Donald Trump was like, this isn't worth it. And that was the big thing that they negotiated. It was trying to bring the amount of percentage that a car needs to be made back into the U.S.
Okay.
So now the amount to pay for a car is more expensive.
Mm-hmm. Because it's all being in the U.S.
Because it's made in the U.S.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So now the car thing is more expensive, and it's like, yo, is it even worth it to buy a car right now?
Yeah.
So that's what's happening.
That's crazy.
And that could happen to other things across the marketplace. You
like
know?
Smaller products and
T-shirts
shit.
And shit. All that shit is made off Amazon. You know, so it could be bad. But I think what's gonna happen is it's gonna move to another country. It's going to be either Vietnam. It's going to be somewhere in Africa. Some country's going to come the fuck up during this time.
Because
they're like, yo, we didn't get tariffed. We good. And it was going to be like, you're the country. And then and move there. And that's going to be the new thing. Because that's the truth, bro. Maybe India is a move because India has cheap labor. Mm. A lot of people.
Yeah, I have an India question. And listen, I have other questions like, you know, about the Dr. Umar stuff and Mouse Jones and different people. But like, there's so many different things that interest me when we get into this content space and stuff like that and financial space.
Mm-hmm.
Indian immigration in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that has any correlation with the high cost of rentals that have happened over the last 5 years? Because the influx, and before you guys go, the influx has changed. And I was watching a video that that showed this. It went from 400,000 every year or so to 1 million every year or so, mm-hmm. with 56% of them all coming from certain parts of India.
Yeah.
Right? Now, and other countries, obviously, to make up the other 100%. So that's 1 million people coming into this country per year.
Word.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It has to be. If there's a direct influx of people, that means there's a direct influx of places that people need to live.
Yeah.
So it's going to make it more valuable in terms of the price that you're going to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, but right now, the realtors are, it's... The market's crazy.
Yeah,
market is crazy. The whole entire real estate industry right now is crazy. Facts. It's a renter's market. Renters are winning. There's literally companies built. That's what Jasmine Lee was saying, right? Yeah. There's companies built where they'll pay you 40 grand to move out their crib.
Yeah.
Big Salute to Diamond Club with delivery all across the GTA as well as all across Canada. They got some of the best loud that you can get, as well as edibles, pens, tinctures, and anything that you want for your 420 needs. Make sure to hit them up on their Instagram page, DiamondClub_Canada, and you can also find them on the 7 Days of Weed website. Once again, their Instagram page is DiamondClub_Canada, and you could use the code WeLoveHipHop if you want a discount. Big salute to the sponsors. Cheer! Tell me why.
Because people are squatting for real. People are moving into the crib and not like, yeah, I'm not leaving. Because that's what the rules are like. Here in Ontario.
Yo, we just interviewed a realtor.
We just interviewed a realtor.
Yeah. Literally just like an hour ago. And she was telling us some crazy stories, bro. How one man, actually, this is a little off topic, but we're going to get back to the Indian conversation. How one man was living with a girl and he did some work on her house.
Mm-hmm.
And then they broke up. So he's like, yo, I'm taking you to court for half the value of the house until you pay me my money back
mm-hmm.
for all the fixes I did on the house.
Mm-hmm.
People are like, doing whatever they can to abuse the system to get money out of it.
Mm.
So that's the reality.
Yeah.
So, and let's not also, we're not mentioning like the influx of migrants and stuff that we get over here too, right?
Yeah.
Not just immigration, like people who are like fleeing countries and stuff.
Word. And to the Indian question, I don't know if it's necessarily an Indian immigration thing. It's an immigration period thing where so many people are coming in mm-hmm. that there's not enough supply for it, like you're saying.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's like, where's these houses at? And I know, you know, Mayor Chow just announced like she's trying to increase more houses by like the zoning and avenues.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that avenues had a different zoning than streets. Y'all know that?
That's why there's differences in the names of the like road, street, avenue, court, circle, whatever it is.
Word.
There's all the difference in the back end. But I think, just in general, it's not just an Indian thing.
Yeah.
It's just those are just the most loudest people that have followed it here.
Exactly.
That's realistically it. Because there's mad Ukrainian people here. There's a lot of different cultures that are migrating, immigrate, whatever it is, to here.
Yeah.
And they have housing.
Yeah.
And they're getting money.
They're getting put in, like, there's people who are getting put in hotels and stuff.
Yeah,
bro.
Well, you know what? We were just interviewing on another thing I was shooting. We were interviewing people from this company in Toronto. They kind of take care of homeless people. They give them housing. I think it's called Homes First. But there's literally there's a hotel up the street from here that is all homeless people. It's like 300 units.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different places here that have things going on that people are just walking by and drive by and have no idea what's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and the housing market, this whole industry right now is one of those things that it's very negative.
Yeah.
There's just not a lot of positivity that's coming out of the real estate market right now. There's the problem with our age group where people are, you know, it's the basement age group.
Yeah.
You know what I'm trying to say? Like, people at 30 years old, in comparison to what people are making right now at 30 years old, in comparison to what it was 20, 30 years ago, it's impossible to afford a property right now.
Yeah.
You have to really do real investment to get something. And then to get something in Toronto for somebody who's making 50 grand a year.
It's impossible.
That's impossible, bro. You literally have to be selling Fenty out there or something.
Yeah, on the side. It's a trap. That's what the realtor said. She's like, yo, I'm not telling you guys a trap, but it's messed rough. Up out here.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, she even said that because it's actually a crazy game. So
another point, though, that's making, I think, a contentious environment in Canada is the hiring. Is the hiring, bro. Like, the other day I walked into Walmart and I was buying a tool belt. And I'm like, hey, where's your tool belts? And she and the worker there was like, what? A what? I'm like, a tool belt? She's like, I don't know. I don't know.
You got a short picture.
Like, and I'm like, a tool belt, yo, I got to draw the line. This is crazy. A tool belt's crazy. You know what I'm saying? This is
the hardware store.
You know? What?
A tool belt is where I draw the line.
Exactly. That's where I draw the line. I was like, I'm outraged. I became a black Karen, bro. I was like, I am outraged.
Where's your manager?
Facts, bro. I was like, for a tool belt, my nigga? Nah.
Nah, it is crazy, though. It is crazy.
So, and the point I'm making, though, is that, like, she shouldn't have been hired without being able to speak proper English. Point blank period, whether she's Indian, you know, she speaks Yoruba, like, no matter what, like, that shouldn't be happening.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And to think that there's people just hiring based off of culture and race instead of what you're qualified for is wrong.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And we're seeing that happen in multiple places. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
So I think that's what the real thing is that's happening across. Like, a lot of people are complaining about Tim Hortons. And I think that
Tim Hortons is done.
Oh my gosh.
Tim Hortons is not done. They just need to overhaul.
No, but Tim Hortons, when was the last time you seen a Tim working at Tim Hortons, fam?
A Tim? Oh. That was good.
I never seen a man named Tim working at Tim Hortons, fam.
Oh,
but I think that's like thing that needs to be like challenged is like how to create like the rules and process to make sure that the right people are being hired. Because if I was to go in and be like, yo, it's right here, no problem, and like, here you go.
Yeah,
I'd have been blessed, you know? Yeah. Canada's going great.
Yeah.
But that's like a telltale sign that, hey, so there's a problem here.
They're real hustlers, though. That's one thing I can give them. They're real hustlers, bro.
Salute.
Like, they will be in any job anywhere except for labor. I've never seen an Indian man in a construction outfit.
No,
Indian men that are coming in, they're not doing no construction. I've never seen it.
Unless you're in, if you're in B Town,
that's a different world,
right? In Brampton, again, one of these YouTube wormholes that I went down, they're saying that guys are getting undercut because men's on hiring guys from that are coming straight in from India now to do the work.
Labor.
Instead of getting guys to do, you know, like putting extensions on their house, putting extra rooms because people are accommodating mad people, like, you know, opening up 5-6 rooms in their house and you know, let me just rent them out.
I seen an interview, like one of those guys doing like a street interview, and he was talking to, I don't know where the guy's from, so I don't want to say he's Indian or not, but he was definitely of that culture.
Mm.
And the guy's like, what's the one thing that you don't like about Brampton? And he's like, honestly, there's just too much Desi people here. Like, it's ruining the Canadian feel.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like Canada anymore. It feels like back home. Like, he said that. And that was a different perspective for me.
Yeah.
Because everyone else, when they say it, you know, it just sounds racist. Like,
oh, it sounds racist.
These 18 Indian guys are taking their jobs. It just sounds exactly like the States.
He came to Canada but to see what Canada was like.
Even he was like, you know what I'm saying? So when he said that, I was like, oh, shoot, that's a totally different perspective I wasn't expecting, you know?
Yeah.
I think. I'll get my conspiracy back for a second.
I should have loaded up my sound effects.
If I was a CIA agent in India, where would I go?
Canada?
You know, I'm trying to infiltrate Canada. Where would I go? Where could I hide? You have a ton of options.
There's Brampton, there's Surrey.
There's Scarborough.
There's Scarborough. Yeah.
You have a lot of options.
I got a sound effect for you.
Pickering. You know?
I got you.
X-Files.
You know, like to go in my conspiracy bag, you know? But, you know, I love Indian culture, though. Like, I love Indians. But in terms of, like, government to government, if I was trying to, like, infiltrate, like, it feels like, if I was to say infiltrate Canada from an Indian government,
right,
how hard do you think it would be?
Bro.
It would be kind of easy.
At this point,
you
man.
You see that, what I'm
bro?
Saying?
No, fam, you're not wrong, bro.
I'm kind of
you deserve another one, man. You deserve another one. Where's my sound effects, man?
Why'd you say that, bro?
The Mexican fucked you up, didn't he? Fucked you up. Yeah, when I thought, I was like, oh, shit.
That man's looking at the Indian
man. Fam, I did a whole YouTube live reaction to spies being sent from over there in India that are mixing up with the gangs and helping fund the gangs and vice versa, with the money coming from the gang violence and all that coming back over, going back over to India.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole pipeline of things that are happening, fam. Damn. Like, you're not wearing tinfoil, bro. This shit is really happening.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
You're right, bro.
But shout out to Indian folks, though.
Yeah, no, salute.
Shout out to Indian folks.
Okay, I got some other topics for you here. And let me get my stuff off the screen here.
Right.
Okay, Mouse Jones.
Yes.
All right, because there's a couple of pieces of content here that I seen here with Mouse Jones. You have the new interview with Mouse Jones on his own.
Yep.
And then there's a Dr. Umar interview.
Yeah.
So I'm starting to see a trend here. Mm-hmm. How did the relationship start with Mouse Jones first?
Man, that was super organic. All right, so this was like a little strategy. I think this is a content creator strategy that I should definitely leverage, bro. So when I was I made a story on this guy named Charles Kirkendall.
Okay,
from Blavy. So Blavy acquired his business, right? And he was on Black Love. Talking about how he was broke and he was on a double date and
Black Love is podcast.
Black Love does have a podcast, but they're a Black Love media company.
Okay.
Literally a media company based on Black Love. Damn, I do a lot of black shit. Like, but shout out to me. And he was telling the story on it, and I just was telling like the boys about that like organically, and I had my editor critic a clip on that.
Mm.
And he rocked with it. And we posted on his platform.
Mm.
And I was like, oh shit, that's dope. And he has a bigger platform than I do by far.
Yeah.
And he saw it and a whole bunch of other people saw it. So I'm like, all right, you need to use this time to network.
Mm-hmm.
And Mouse commented on that post. So I'm like, boom, I have in with Mouse. He saw that post.
Mm.
So from that, I pitched Mouse and I knew that he would be familiar with me.
Right.
So that's what organically did it. So when I went to New York, I was like, all right, yo, Mouse, let's do an interview together.
Mm.
And he was like, down, bet him down. And you know when somebody gives you like a shaky answer for an interview? Like they say yes, but you know it's not like a yes.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
I want a yes, you know?
Not what time, when, where do you want me?
Exactly. Like, yeah, I'm down, you know? But it's like a casual.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how can I make this a yes for sure?
Mm-hmm.
And I already had Dr. Umar lined up. So I'm like, all right, boom. Let's get Mouse and Dr. Umar together already. And that would be like a sick interview. Plus, I'll make sure that locks him in.
Yeah.
You know? So that's how that happened. And Mouse was like, what? Like, you got, boom, perfect. So I think that's what made it happen organically.
Mm-hmm.
And that from that, Mouse has been more than gracious, you know, sharing us on his platform, you know, connecting us with other people. So, like, shout out to Mouse for sure.
Yeah. Big salute,
you know? Yeah.
And, what gave you all the inspiration to do this Dr. Umar interview in the first place?
Man, this is shooting the shit. Like, yo, what would be a dope interview? yo, I have like a whole list of people that I want to interview that would be fire. And I just shoot my shot. Yo, one thing I do is I shoot.
Mm.
One thing about this guy?
Yeah, I shoot.
Because even when I saw his pod for the first time, because I haven't been shooting it the entire time.
Yeah.
Like you said, they did it for the pandemic and then we met at a certain point. I looked on this guy's thing. I seen Matt Barnes' face. And for me, I literally majority only listen to podcasts. And I've been like that since 2016. So when it comes to podcasts, I know.
Yeah, yeah.
So sports podcasts, who is one of the originators? Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson.
Yeah, All the Smoke.
All the Smoke.
Yeah.
So I've been on that, been watching that pod for years. So I looked on this guy's thing. I'm like, you guys got Matt Barnes? Like, he said yes. And he pulled up. I'm like, oh, shit. And then we're doing an episode. And then this billionaire guy comes on, like Isaac Oluwalafe. I'm like,
yeah.
This guy's a billionaire. He's sitting here right now. Like, I'm talking to him right now. Like, this is fire.
Yeah.
And then I went, like, just, it kept happening. Like, yo, this guy's the owner of this company. Wow. Like, you have the guts to talk to this guy?
Yeah.
You have the idea to actually reach out and be like, yo.
Shoot your shot.
Can we talk? And then they're like, yeah. And you're like, oh, shit. Like, most people, if they did that, they would be like, okay. Like, they'd be lost. Like, yeah, what do we do now? Yeah. These guys, it's an execution thing. So when he said he wanted to do Dr. Umar, I was like, okay. Like, the first time he said it, I was like, okay. And then he linked me one day, like, okay, bro, we're doing Dr. Umar. Like, we're flying out. We're doing it.
Sick.
I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. All right. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, one thing about him shooting a shot is definitely something that has worked for this guy. And anybody out there that is looking to do something, bro, shoot your shot.
Shoot
you
your
miss
shot.
Every shot that you do not take.
Facts.
That's a big fact, isn't it? And did you hit him up in the DMs?
Did you
go through like the email channels?
I went through his email. Yeah, that's what I did.
I'm going to ask a kind of a pocket watch type of question.
All right, talk to me.
And you don't have to give me an exact figure.
All right.
What's around the price that this man's charging per interview? Because I know Dr. Umar ain't doing no free interviews.
Yeah.
He meant a deal, though.
He charges. I feel like I don't want
you to give his number up because I don't want y'all to mess up your or his business.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
But ballpark.
Ballpark.
Are we talking five figures?
No. I'll say that.
Okay. No. All right.
Yeah. It's not
five. All right. I'm feeling confident I might be able to get that in.
he helps the black people out for sure.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll say that.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I think on top of the fact that he sees what y'all are doing. Mm-hmm. That probably even encouraged him more to bring the price down.
Word.
It might be. The thing is that it might be five. But like, you know, I feel like the situation was right.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think he actually does charge five, but I feel like he gave us a discount.
He does do a five figure cost.
Yeah, exactly.
Like I said, he's seen what the man them are doing. Y'all on the come up. You know what I'm saying? You're from Toronto. You know what I'm saying?
Word.
Bring the price down.
That's literally what it was.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. He's
like, no, that's no bunny, right? You know, that's not a bunny hopper, right? No? Not a bunny hopper. And I'm like, no.
Don't worry, we didn't bring it up in the pod.
No, man.
Not a bunny hopper, right?
And he would have been cheese.
Yeah.
He's probably going to charge me the high then, bro.
You're a bunny hopper?
I'm sorry, Dr. Umar. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't overcharge me because I lay with the pink toes. You know what I'm saying?
Pink toes, 20,000.
Saying, you know, I'm sorry, bro. Sorry. Okay, I want to ask you guys as guys who are out here. You're doing even before I ask you guys about the Toronto music scene.
Yeah,
the evolution of the podcast itself, because like I said in the beginning of this conversation, you guys were like you're covering a more financial stuff.
Yeah,
right. But now we get to Dr. Umar, which just is like. Like black empowerment and all different types of conversations. Like you guys had a conversation. The conversation that went viral was about Kendrick Lamar.
Hip hop in black community.
That was it, right? Are you guys still dealing with the financial space as much, or are we evolving into different things? Like me and Marlon were just here the other day, just chopping up about whatever.
Yeah.
Right.
I think the direction I want to go in is like business and culture, you know, because that is a part of business and culture.
Yes.
You know, like what is the culture doing towards building up each other's business? Mm. That was like the core of the conversation. So I want to do more of those. Mm-hmm. But hip hop is the driver,
you know,
because like, even to this day, I was looking at the comments and like, so people were talking about the top five street mans that we talked about in the episode.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm like, all right, boom. If that's what they want to get, I feel like there's like a good balance. Because I think the main challenge I was having with the podcast before that, because there was no culture behind it in terms of like for example, the NBA culture is so huge that when Durant does a certain dunk or certain move, we're talking about that for a moment.
Yeah.
There isn't that much business culture in that sense where one move happens and we're all talking about that.
Yeah.
Let's say it like this, bro. Niggas are not watching that shit, bro. They're not tapping in. They don't, bro. It's very hard. I'm gonna say this because I'm on the other side of it. For them, like for him and his old business partner, they are very much on that side. The business. I'm on the culture side.
Yeah.
Right. So I know what these guys are watching, and they're not watching the owner of this company talk for an hour about how much he owns this company and how great it's been in his journey.
Yeah.
So you have to kind of use something else to draw people into that conversation. So even the conversation that he had earlier with Jasmine Lee, she's a realtor, but yo, that shit went into life. It went into just love. Her perspective, love. Mm-hmm. And you're talking to a beautiful woman about it. So it kind of gives more of an interest. And that's really what it is. Him bringing me into Dr. Umar podcast, because I wasn't in front of the camera. My plan was never to really be in front of the camera. Mm-hmm. What happened was the Drake beef happened. I'm an opinionated person. Mm-hmm. I went on the pod just to have a quick conversation. Went on vacation. My shit started blowing up. The shit went viral. So you know, he had the idea, you know what, let's start to implement some of this into the pod. I already shoot the pod. I'm gonna hop on and give that opinion. So I think you need a mix of both to get people back into that space where they want to hear the financial talk. Why not hear that from a Marlon, where Marlon's giving insight on what he's been doing in podcasts, and him as a known Toronto face for so long, I want to hear what he has to say about the industry and all that type of stuff. But I know that he's going to bring the culture with it too. Same thing with talking to you, combining you guys on an episode. I feel like that's just fire, because you're getting two legendary perspectives about the city in different spaces, but in the same space at the same time.
No, we had some great combos. Even the one of the clips that went pretty viral, I'm getting comments right now on it.
Yeah.
Is Drake being from a neighborhood, not an underprivileged neighborhood, but still being underprivileged. Yeah. And yo, people were offended at that.
Wanted Drake to be rich so bad.
Yeah, they wanted to be rich and white and Jewish so bad. But that's the thing with Toronto. That's the thing that I love about the city so much. Only we understand. The whole world is talking about Toronto right now.
Because
of Drake, because of other people, and they just don't really get it. Only we get it. And we will only get it. So having the opportunity to talk to Americans about our culture, that's how the conversation started with Dr. Umar. I brought up, hey, this is what Americans are currently saying about Black Canadians right now.
Yeah.
What do you think? And then that just went into Mouse giving his opinion and this and that. And that. And then we got the viral ass clip of them just going crazy at each other. You know what I mean? And so that's where you understand, like, okay, we can talk about the financial, we can talk about the business side of things, but people want to hear culture. So why not give that to them, but also give them the financial basis, give them that, all that type of stuff. There's 200 episodes that they can go look at. Hustle Over Everything podcast, bro. Anything you want to know in business, it's like an encyclopedia. You have hours on hours of people who have done it talking, telling you what to do. You can't say the information is not there. You know what I mean?
If you go find the information, if you're looking for it, you know what I'm saying?
It's there.
And you know, one thing, even with when it comes to finance and culture at the same time, for example, like our Toronto music scene, and this is just me brainstorming, there's a lot of artists out here that are on the come up. We see them on YouTube, they get Spotify streams and all that, but maybe in one day trying to find out, what are you guys doing financially to live, man? I've always wondered, like, how does the average Toronto rapper, like the lit ones, not like just underground guys, like, or they're still underground, but like the lit ones from the underground, how are you guys living? Are you dealing with a realtor to get a place and all that type shit?
You know what I'm saying?
For sure. Yeah. A lot of them, like their clout fuels their life.
Mm.
You know, like they get into free spaces, free studio sessions, and free XYZs because their clout gives it to them. Some of them will have like art galleries. Yeah, there's a lot of different ways that I find like rappers that are making a life for themselves from my experience. What have you
my
seen?
Experience is clearly it's not working. I feel like all the biggest rappers from Toronto, they're all in jail. Like there's only a few or passed away, but there's only really a few that are from the streets of Toronto that are kind of doing it. And even they're kind of twined up in a lot of different politics and different situations. So
yeah.
I think as a Toronto street rapper, like in that industry, the best way to do it is probably to leave. Leave Canada. And like keep, just have your clout that you've built up here and know that you're a legend in the city and the city will respect you for this, but just leave and just go elsewhere. Because all these rappers, they're getting caught up, they're getting killed here.
Yeah, but it's weird because like, and I want to still keep it finance and culture at the same time, right?
Yeah.
Because a lot of these guys, if you really take in how much YouTube views, let's say, even if you have a few million views, and okay, you made, let's say, $10,000 off of a few million views, right? Let's say. And same with Spotify. At the end of like one song, over the space of like a year or so, that's like 20 grand. Is that really enough to live? Like,
we
I
want
to take a quick break
loud,
from this episode
loud,
to give a big shout to Only Loud, Canada's one-stop shop for your favorite legacy brands and all things loud. Only Loud provides mail order delivery nationwide and same-day delivery to those in the Ottawa area. Check them out at onlyloud.ca or follow them on their socials, Instagram at onlyloudcanada or on Snapchat onlyloud.ca for more exclusive content. Only Loud is not just a product, it's a lifestyle. Big salute to the sponsors. Cheer. You can't rent a house or rent an apartment out for that, bro.
And that's why I'm saying you got to leave. Because the only way to make money as real money as an artist, you had to be touring. People, you got to be doing shows. You got to be hitting the ground with your music. So, and you can't. Well, I know that there's rappers definitely that have toured Canada. I've seen that a lot, which is super fire to me.
Mm.
Like I've seen videos of like Roni and like wherever, Alberta or wherever. Yeah, and people are rapping the tracks. Like that's hard. But I do understand you have to leave the country. You got to tour. You got to. That's the real way. Streaming is clearly not it.
Mm.
I don't think you can, even that 20 grand, what is that? That's not nothing for the year.
Yeah.
If that's your only legit source of income.
Yeah. If you want to say, I'm going to do music and leave the streets.
Yeah, exactly.
Like for 20 grand a year. Like, and that's if you do that off of, I'm talking for millions of views.
Yeah.
I'm not talking for like 50,000, 100, maybe 200,000 views.
Yeah.
You're making less than that.
Yeah. But how much does it take to get the million views? It's not free. Yeah. Not all your songs are bangers, but they need to be promoted like they are.
They have to be produced.
Exactly.
You have to pay engineer.
So you're paying engineer, you're paying maybe a manager, you're paying maybe somebody who's going to get your shit playlisted.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, this costs money as well. So that 20 grand you're making off streaming, that's going right back into the marketing and plus more. You're going out of pocket.
Yeah, you're not even breaking even. You're going into the hole.
Exactly.
So how are you seeing like rappers make money? Like outside of trapping, of course.
Trapping. I'm sorry. I got to be real, fam. It depends on what rappers we're talking about, right?
Yeah. Because
there's rappers who are not the gully guys.
Of course.
And you'll see them at a real job. Just doing a jobby job.
Yeah.
Right. But they're like known for their art and like their lyricism or just really being good at art. And it's cool to see them working at a call center, but you know, one day this guy might blow the hell up.
But the man, them
who are on that drill rap shit and all that, they're not going to go work at no damn call center or whatever and get their head shot off by the ops, bro. Yeah.
You know what? I have a rare story. So, I used to work at All Saints at, Yorkdale Mall. And there, two rappers were there. Just John.
Okay.
And Castro Guapo.
Okay. Salute.
And they were like legit doing their thing, working. And John was opening up an art gallery and Castro was robbing. Now I'm playing. But they were doing that and they were making like their money and you know, as they were getting bigger, like they're doing their thing, you know, and Castro started doing shows and bubbling. So like that. Working retail might be a way.
I feel like that might be one of the best ways for a Toronto rapper to make money. Nice. Because you're able to network
Yeah.
You're getting paid to network.
To network, mm. facts.
People are walking into your store because the gear is fire.
Facts.
Your song's playing in the background because you have access to the speaker.
Mm.
Someone might be bobbing their head. You can walk by, hey, yo, you rock with that? Yo, this is me. You don't know who this person is.
So you're saying, Kid Cudi. Let's say if Doobie was home.
Yes.
He work at a place like that.
Bro, I think that I'm, bro, I set it up. I was on another podcast. Bro. I was on another podcast like a couple weeks or last week.
Shut them out.
And I literally, it's called You Feel Me Pod. Shout out to Jamar. Smooth. King Jam.
Shout out to Feel Me Pod. They're a fire pod.
I just said it. I'm like, bro, I think that street rap needs to die.
Mm.
Where is the success story? I have not seen it yet.
Street rap, not necessarily. Drill rap, maybe specifically.
Drill rap, 100%.
Yeah. Because 100%. Street rappers, Jay-Z is a street rapper.
Well, that's what I mean then. Let's say drill rap then.
Yeah.
Right. Where they're explicitly, blatantly, talking about crimes, murder, rob, whatever it is.
Smoking on the ops. Smoking afterwards. On the ops.
Yeah. I feel like all that shit. There's just being in the space where.
Pressa though? And Pressa not be a street.
But Pressa, I think that his music that he's putting out isn't necessarily crazy much into that. Like that. I feel like he's a little bit more.
He does a little bit of both.
Both.
Right? Because, right? You know, attachments, he's talking about in the hook. Mm-hmm. He's naming a man that got shot in the song.
Yeah.
In the jam, you're saying. You know what I'm saying?
But it may not sound like your classic, typical drill rap.
Yeah, it just doesn't have the beat and all that. Like, it's a drill rap song.
Yeah.
But drill, right, is actually broadened.
Yeah.
The umbrella of drill is you're just talking about your ops on songs. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter what the beat is.
That's what it is. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. Yo, I have a conspiracy theory on this too.
Mm. Hold on, before you get out. I got you.
What's this one?
Go.
All right, drill rap is modern day Mandingo fights.
Mm.
You know what Mandingo fights are?
Yeah.
Yes, but break it down.
So Mandingo fights used to be like where white slave owners would pay their slaves to fight to like the death as entertainment.
And they'd all be mad D's, like Black Panther.
Mad D's.
Mad them.
Exactly. And it's fighting to the death. And I'm like, low-key is kind of...
Yeah, because the white people are literally paying Black people to come up here and literally talk about, you know, the murder and the... Man, the
and
thing
getting
is...
paid off of it.
It's such a crazy line, though, because I do I have a huge amount of empathy for rappers from those circumstances.
Facts.
Mm. Because I remember growing up where I grew up, the only... Like, I have both my parents. But they're working. Like, I have to, at some point, I have to start fending for myself and figuring things out for myself. Because maybe they might not know everything, or maybe they might be thinking, like, they got to provide for me.
Yeah.
So he's good. He's not even, they probably didn't know I was even thinking about getting a job. But I remember the first time I ever got a job, I was walking past one of the doors, and I lived in Toronto Community Housing, and my brethren was going to go ball up a spliff. And he's seen a paper hanging on the door.
Mm.
And he's like, yo, grab that paper for me real quick. I'm going to ball up a spliff.
Yeah.
Right. Grabbed the paper. I looked at the paper and it was one of those like job fairs.
Mm.
And it had like the number thing you can rip off or whatever.
Yeah.
And I called it and I got a job. And I got a job with Toronto Community Housing working in my ends.
Nice.
You know what I'm saying? Like I literally woke up, drove my little BMX to the office. I was working. And they never knocked on my door.
Mm.
They never said, hey, we're doing a job fair. Come on through. They never told my parents. They never went to the resource center, put out flyers. They never did none of that. They walked through, slapped the flyer on the door and said they did their job.
Mm.
Now, that's why I feel it for people from these circumstances who are growing up in Toronto community housing, resulting to making music and doing things like that for money, trapping, whatever it is, because the options were there for real.
Minimal.
They were minimal.
Yeah.
And that was me with my thinking from both parents.
Mm.
Nevertheless, somebody who maybe just has a dad, who maybe just has a mom, who's working every day. Or their parents are on drugs.
Yeah.
Or they live with their grandma. And grandma's older. She's not outside.
Yeah.
She just tells you what time to come inside.
Yeah.
So it's hard to really judge them and look down on it. But I think when you have to bring it full circle, you have platforms like Hustle Over Everything.
Mm-hmm.
That are giving information that's it's as accessible as the music videos that these people love to watch.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. All you have to do is type in and you can find the information on how to make legit money and make a lot of it. It's work. It's hard. But so, bro, to be a good drug dealer is hard too.
Facts. Yes.
Facts.
It takes skill.
Yeah.
To run from boredom and bro, to not, you know, to live a life where you can't just walk in the mall like a regular human being. You can't just go to the club. You can't just go to a certain restaurant with your girl because you have ops. That takes smarts.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To wash your money, to do all these different things, it takes a real intelligence. And all that can be flipped over.
Yes.
All of it can. Yeah. It's just about tapping into the information. Hustle over everything. That's one of those platforms where information's
there. We do not teach people how to wash their money.
Let's leave that one out the loop right there. Okay, let me show y'all something. Speaking on the Toronto music scene, okay? Because there's been an angle where these guys have been trying to use this drill stuff as promotion, right? But is this promotion? So that's the studio session that was happening right before the 100 shots went down in the in the city. For the people who are watching this, it's probably going to be like a week or so before a week ago that this happened. Right, but this is like right before the incident happened.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
I guess they were posting it on their IG and on their Snap and their ops scene that this was going down. And then while they were outside of the studio, a shootout happened. A cop car got hit. Like, it was wild.
Wild.
Right? But in the end of the day, some of these guys are Toronto rappers trying to promote their thing, fam. But this is not the way, bro. Where did we go wrong, fam?
Big Snoop is Steven Hot Grabba with a variety of different grabba flavors and dispensers. They got red rose grabba, that red herring grabba, and peanut butter. Hit them up on their Instagram page, Steven Hot Grabba, and use the code WeLoveHipHop and receive a discount on your order. Again, you can find them on Instagram, Steven Hot Grabba. Now let's get back to the show.
Cheer. Is this our fault, man? Like, my generation? Like, you guys might not, you guys are not in the same generation as me. I'm in a generation where I could be their parents.
Yeah.
Is it our fault, fam?
It's not. I don't think it's all the parents' fault. I think it's the older brother's fault. I think it's the people who were at the age where they can take advantage of a young person quickly. Whereas back at, like, when I was growing up, because of who my dad was, people left me out of the shits. They literally would tell me, yo, your pops, nah. Because my dad was like a dad to them.
Yeah, a lot
of people did not get that experience. So in that way, it's your generation's fault because a lot of the men from your generation weren't willing to be the father to multiple kids and not just their own.
It takes
a village to raise a kid. That's a fact. That saying is a real fact.
That's a fact.
It's a real fact. The takes a village thing is a real thing. The reason why I know that, I listen to a lot of podcasts of people who go and visit indigenous tribes and all that shit. Yo, these tribes have been around for thousands of years and they're still doing that. There's no, this is my son, like two parents and a son or two parents and a daughter. This is the kid. This is the new baby of us, of the village, of everybody, right? So that's where your generation went wrong, where a lot of them weren't willing to be that good light. And just used the kids to kind of be like a doja.
The crash dummies. Yeah,
the crash dummies. And then now you have the older brothers of my generation, where they're just out of my generation, maybe like 5, 6, 7 years older than us, who were so focused on gyal and that they weren't taking care of their younger bro.
Oh my gosh. Can we talk about that for a quick second?
You know what I'm saying?
Too many niggas are focused on gyal.
Yeah, that yo, my older bro's age group, like that age group that's like 38, 37, 35 and up. That age group, the mandem in that age group are so focused on gyal, and that you just have to think about the timing of what was going on. Focused on gyal and drugs. They weren't taking care of younger bro to kind of lead younger bro the right way.
Yeah.
And kind of searching for information. I think that's really all it is. It's just a lack of information. You know what I mean? That's it.
I also think there's like not enough outlets. you know, mm-hmm. not an outlet for anger. Because we all go through a time where we're angry as kids, and it needs to be a proper outlet to let it out.
Yeah.
And if you don't have that, you can find it in the worst places, because the worst places are the most accepting,
mm-hmm.
you know? So it's like, all right, the good places are going to accept me for who I am right now. Mm-hmm. But if I have the anger and angst I want to get out, they're going to be like, all right, go do that.
Come on in.
Come on in.
And one last thing that I'll say on this, the number one thing where generation got messed up, the time that parents are letting their kids back inside the house.
Mm.
If you make your kid come back home at 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock, and after dinner, they're not allowed home, or they're home for dinner and not allowed back out, whatever it is, that saved a lot. Every person that I know that was at home for dinner, none of them got caught up in none of that shit.
Yeah.
It's the kids that were outside. You go outside at any time, they're there. Those are the kids, because you're not getting taught.
Yeah.
You're not
Nobody's telling you to come inside.
No one's telling you to come inside. So you have all these grown folks having these kids with them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you're teaching them your way when they're supposed to be kids. They're supposed to be inside reading a book, watching a little movie, recess, whatever it is. They're supposed to be watching Family Channel, doing all that type of stuff. There's so many kids that they weren't doing that. I know kids are in grade 5, grade 3. When I was in grade 3, mans were selling weed. I know kids that are doing that.
Outside,
right now, today,
10, 11 a.m. or 10 p.m.
10 p.m. Right now, today, those guys are in jail. Those guys are caught up in crazy stuff.
Yeah.
So it's just that childhood where we miss out on the simple, small things, like bringing your kid back in early.
Mm.
So, because at nighttime, nothing good is going on out there at night when it's dark, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It reminds me of that commercial. It's 10 p.m. Do you know where your kid is at?
That's a real thing.
Right?
If you knew where your kid was at today, he wouldn't be twined up in so much shit.
Yeah.
Everything, all the messed up stuff happens at night. That's why they say brazen when it's in the day.
Because
that's crazy. Like, that's too, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah.
I also think there isn't enough, for going back to this specific video, I think there isn't enough media directing what to do and what not to do in terms of marketing yourself and staying clear. Because like, even getting signed now might be easier or harder because of that, you know?
Yeah.
So like, I'm happy that you're here to say, nah, fuck that. That ain't cool.
But you know what's messed up? This guy, whoever the person is who posted it, or whoever's video it is, they could go to jail.
Yeah.
The whole entire city now knows who they are.
Yeah.
Some people are probably listening to the track like, yo, this is fire. There's a buzz.
In the comments were like, yo, what's the track though?
Yeah.
They create a buzz, right? They go to jail, but they have this buzz. You know what happens? They come out of jail, they get signed. That
in
happens.
In the States.
In the States. But that's what we're
Canada,
trying to follow. But that's what we're trying to follow, though. Clearly.
Yeah. In the States, that plan works beautiful.
Flawless.
Especially if you come home like within 5 years.
Yeah.
Record companies are like, yo, you the guys from that studio session? Yeah, we're signing you. And you could just move around to 52 states to get your money.
Mm-hmm.
Canada, you can't go to the States. Record companies over here are scary, so they ain't signing you because they don't want to be in the room with you.
I was about to ask that. Like, does the NLE Choppa formula work? You know, that's what he did. No,
it works in America.
Oh, gotcha.
Right? Gotcha. Because they don't have to. If they have a problem traveling to Canada, who cares?
They have 50 states.
They have the 50 states.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They can even maybe pass Canada and go to Alaska and get a show popping over there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But they got the states and multiple cities in each state to go and get their bag in.
Facts.
10,000, 15,000 a night.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Where we don't have that out here. Sexy Red was probably doing shows on her come up for like 10,000 a night.
What do you think this was like? What do you really, for you knowing this industry of rap, like this side of rap, what do you think that their intention was for this? Because for me personally, like, there's nothing good from this.
Mm.
First of all, they post the videos, they have all the guns. No one's wearing a mask. That's the first problem I see. Second of all, there's a shootout after. Who sees a video of 30 guns and says, let's go there.
Cops.
That's a whole nother factor of it. Crazy. That's like, bro, that's to me, like, yo, this is like the war for real. Like, to have that brain where you see 30 straps in a video, you see no mask, and you're like, yes, let's go here.
That's where we
need
to
go. And let's turn up. That in itself is it's something, I think it's deeper, and I can't explain it, but there's clearly something there. But what's your opinion on that? Like, what do you think the intention here was? Like,
the intention, I think, for them in this video was promotion.
Okay.
Shock value. Look at what we're doing.
Yeah.
If we don't get arrested, we're out of here.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But you're going to get arrested for this activity, especially if you're posting it online. Maybe not now. Maybe if there wasn't 100 shots that happen, you're still getting arrested.
Yeah.
Because it's going up on social media.
Yeah.
So then if they don't get arrest you for the 100 shots that happen subsequently, you were literally going to get arrested for the investigation that happens, that they pick you up 2-3 months down the line, maybe 5 months.
Yeah.
The video is not just going to sit there with the police and they're just going to be like, oh, we saw all those guns. They're not in, I was saying this on my live earlier, they're not in Tennessee or in Phoenix with all those guns.
St. Louis.
Yeah, you might be able to say, oh, out of those 16 guns, because there were 16 guns in the room actually.
16.
Out of those, maybe 14 of them might be registered. And two of them unregistered.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah, yeah. That's so true. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. We raided the place and every man was able to show their paperwork.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We're in Canada. They see that on the screen, like the authorities. They're like, what the hell? Handguns are illegal in Canada.
We got a 4-5-65.
So even if not after 100 shots that did happen.
I seen extended clips. I seen.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yo. If I'm the boy then, which I'm not, okay? Because they'd be like, I can say that, right? I'm looking at that video and I'm going to be like, where can I find these guys who have all these guns? Because I'm going to have to arrest them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the shootout, even though unfortunate, was actually kind of fortunate because they can get those people in this time and space without having to waste their resources and do an investigation to try to find them 3-4 months later.
Yeah. Like, we got them.
Bro.
They gave themselves up.
Yeah. It's insane.
Because I'm on this platform and I know what this platform is, and I have the opportunity, I have to just say it.
Say it.
Please, guys, please. There's legit ways to make money out here. You, if you are a criminal or in the streets, you are actually a smart person. And you can change all of that street knowledge into legitimacy. You can get out the streets where people aren't hunting you, where you're not being hunted every day by either police or the ops. It's possible. Please, if you're a young kid watching this platform right now, please, and you want to make music, there's a lot to talk about. Talk about love. What happened to love, bro?
Yeah, it's kind of tough, man. That love music don't hit that hard when you're a gangster rapper.
But the thing is like, all the biggest gangster rappers, their biggest songs most of the time are love songs or love songs. That's with girls. Like, even them, they do it. It's impossible. So for me, I know what this platform is and I know people are going to watch it. So please, like, watch Hustle Over Everything. Go back to episode
100
and just watch it. Listen to what entrepreneurs speak. These people are from Toronto. Go listen to the conversation we had with Marlon and Friday. These people are from the city. They're doing things. They're doing things without having themselves caught up and twined up in all the nonsense. Yo, this is not it, bro.
This is not it.
This video, it's not it, bro.
If you have an extra 20 bands, you can go get real estate, bro.
Facts.
Yes.
Get out of it now. You have bread. You can go invest in something. Yeah. You can get two quick cars, get two little quick beaters. Rent them out. Do something.
Throw them on Turo.
Put on Turo. Do something. There's so much, like you already have some bread, man. There's so many small little businesses that you can do. You can find somebody like me. I'm a content creator. I shoot podcasts, but you know bad people that are going to shoot podcasts. Invest with me. Let's go get some clients that you know. Well, I'll spit you off some bread. Whatever it is, you have money already.
Yeah.
Get out. Just move away from it. It's not have, bro. Where I used to live, like, I wasn't never in streets. The feds knew my name, though. Mm. I was an athlete kid. Like, I was a baller. I didn't go to high school in the hood. I went to art school.
Yeah, yeah.
But when I walked back home, the feds are walking past me like, hey, Isaac. I'm like, huh? I never did anything, sir. We know you, though.
Yeah, it's part of the plan, bro.
They know you already. They know what you're doing. There's no success story. Lil Durk is done. Young Thug is lucky.
Yeah. He's Young hanging Thug on by a string, that parole, that probation that he's on.
He's done. If he, one small tiny move, he's done.
He smokes a spliff.
He's too much, done.
You know, all that spliff and grabber. Yo, Thug ain't living that life right now.
Bro, nah. Please, man. Just, you know what I'm saying? Quit it, man. Quit it. It's not it, bro. This is crazy.
Yeah. I know. I had to show you guys this, man. Let me ask you guys one last question or last couple questions before we end our convo here.
Yeah.
You know, we're both podcasters out here. We're doing a nice collab conversation here, right? I was able to go on You Guys Pod. I go on Steady Mobbin Podcast regularly. I've done Voices from the Staircase a few times, you know what I'm saying? So there's 2-3 places that I've been on Extra Gravy, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? But I feel like it stops there, bro.
Which of the pods are out there?
Why do we have a lack of content creators and podcasters in our city?
I think, well, first off, there's other creators, shout out Relentless Diaries.
Yes, salute to Relentless Diaries as well.
They're tough.
Yeah, they're
They just had Maul on there the other day.
Yeah, they did.
That was a good look. There's a lot of up and coming podcasters, yo. There's a lot of people. My name is.
You gotta shout them all out, bro. Just say your point here.
Yeah, exactly. But I think the biggest challenge, bro, is podcasts are expensive. Not many people make it past 7 episodes. So
facts.
That's the biggest thing. You need to have an engine for your podcast.
Yeah.
That's going to keep paying so you can pay for the residuals, like everything that comes with the expenses of a podcast. Mm-hmm. You know, who's getting the camera? Who's doing the edits? Who's doing, like, all these things add up.
Yeah.
So you need to have a business model behind your podcast, or else you're going to be stuck after 5 episodes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like, yo, this is kind of expensive. This is kind of,
and you're not seeing no return.
You're not seeing no return.
20 views.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I think that's where the real challenge is for podcasters in Canada.
Yeah.
And the thing is too, is that you can do a lot of live events in the States to make up that money. There's so much more people to listen to it. There's so much more niches to listen to. So that makes it easier to operate in the States versus in Toronto.
Yeah.
And in Canada. You know, you go to Toronto, Montreal, Ottawa, Vancouver, Alberta, not Alberta, Edmonton, Calgary, and you're done.
Yep.
Yeah. And once you get out there, as far as culture podcasts, because I'm just going to say hip hop, but like our culture,
yeah.
It gets sparse.
Very.
Like all of most of the culture podcasts are on this side of the country. You know what I'm saying? You go to Vancouver. I was just there the other day.
Yeah.
They're watching us over on this side of the country.
Sure. For me, I personally, I own my own production company. I've shot over 400 episodes of podcasts in general.
Nice.
Right? Podcasts, first of all, podcasters are not intentional about what they want to do. And if they are intentional, they have the wrong intentions.
Mm.
If your concept of podcasting is that you're going to make this show and you're going to get millions of views and you're going to get a record or a deal from Spotify, or it's not happening.
Mm.
That time is finished. It's done.
Talk about it.
The people who are in those positions, those are the people.
They were the last of the Mohicans.
They were the last of the Mohicans.
Yeah.
There's some countless podcasts that Spotify signed that never happened. They had Michelle Obama.
Mm-hmm.
They had all these podcasts that never happened. Amy Schumer. They don't convert into money. So half the clients that come to me that say that they want to shoot a podcast, a lot of them are realtors. I want to shoot a podcast. I see a lot of realtors doing it. My coach does it.
Yeah.
I want to create content. They come, they do 3 episodes. They realize, bro, you're not selling a house off a podcast.
Mm.
So it's the intentions is wrong to start off with.
Yeah.
That's the first thing that if you want to create a podcast or whatever it is, you need to be intentional. His idea makes sense. I want to provide information to people who look like me, from people who look like me, about wealth and financial success.
Mm.
And now he wants to merge culture into it so that that can be the driver of the conversations. That can be what extends it. You have the hip hop network and you're providing the information on hip hop. You're telling people what people want to know in the entertainment field of hip hop.
Mm.
Those are two perfect intentions that are easily, you're easily able to actually get the goal completed.
Yeah.
You can do it. If your goal is to give information, all you gotta do is give the information and it's working.
Yeah.
Right? So I think the number one thing is people need to just be intentional about what they wanna do. And that will just change the entire scope of it. Second of all, it is expensive. To rent camera, go search up the prices. Go search up right now for a production company to shoot 12 episodes of a podcast. I promise you it's going to say $10,000, $15,000. It's crazy to use production companies. It's crazy to really get a real show. Unless you're going to do it yourself.
Oh my God.
For 12 episodes. I just had a client tell me my prices were a bit expensive for shooting a podcast. I said, go on Google right now and type it in. First answer, $15,000. Second answer, $18,000. Third answer, $11,000. You know what my price was for? $4,000.
Wow.
And she said, I was, because she's hearing the price, like, oh, this is kind of expensive.
And that's but look what's out there.
That's a 12 episode deal. For me, I'm charging her, like, I was giving her a proper deal.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
This is based on consistency. You just have to know how to kind of finagle it, because consistency is better, like, slow motion is better than no motion.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to go overprice myself and try to make $12,000 and then the person does it for 3 months and they hate their lives. Because they just spent all their money.
Yeah.
It makes sense to give them a reasonable price where it's going to make sense for them and what their business is earning to then pay me to now create content for them.
Or not earning in the beginning because you said that there's 12 episode packages that people are selling.
That's what people sell most of the times. Yeah.
Those episodes might not be episode 500 to 512. That you're already a running podcast.
That's episode 1 to 12.
That's 1 to 12. So you're not getting any views off of 1 to 12. Nope. Unless you have the banger guest between 1 to 12, you're not making any money off of those episodes because nobody's watching that.
Exactly.
Right, so one thing I got to say here, there's one big gem that I have to say when it comes to podcasting that everybody sleeps on. Lead generation. One of the smartest ways to operate a podcast is to leverage it for lead generation.
Yes.
Mm. What I mean by that is, let's say I want to get in touch with a billionaire. Do you think reaching out and saying, let me pick your brain, is going to work? Absolutely not. But if you just say, hey, I have an audience of 10,000 XYZs. We want to talk to you about your love for golf. You want to be on the show? So much easier for entry point.
Yeah.
To have an hour with somebody that's so much more like higher than you in society terms.
Yeah. So, or where you want to get to.
You want to get to. So lead generation for podcasts is one of the biggest ways. And that's one of the things I've learned from the podcast. So we interviewed one guy who owns Hashtag Paid. You know, and at the end of it, he was like, oh yo, I have a podcast too, but we only use that for sales. And I was like, what you mean by that? We use that to get marketing directors so we can close deals.
Exactly.
And I was like,
an intention. Look at that.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Hashtag Paid. Like that was like 4 years ago during the pandemic, right?
Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
Do you know how big Hashtag Paid is now?
You're huge.
Because they were intentional from the rip.
Because they're intentional from the rip.
They knew exactly what they wanted to do. And then that's what you go forward and do that. So even with the deal that I was trying to give this client, it's like, I know what you're trying to do. I know that I'm not trying to make money here. You called me to help your company. So my goal here is to provide you the best package. It wasn't even $4,000 for 12 episodes. I was given a whole package, like real estate listings, all this tied into the podcast, trying to really give her the benefit of spending this much money to actually be able to go on your page and see everything's taken care of. You're doing what you got to do. You know what I mean? But the problem is, when they get turned off, it's because they're not intentional. They're thinking $4,000 for a pod. But if the pod doesn't even sell me one house, that $4,000 is completely, I'm just paying out of pocket for that. What's the benefit of that? But it's like, bro, your intentions are wrong. That's your problem.
You might start selling houses. Like if your intention is to sell houses from your pod, you have to be able to, and we'll cap off this pod or creator conversation, right? You have to be able to go for the long run. You have to know that your first, let's say, maybe 100 episodes might not get over 100 views.
That's realistic too.
Right? But if you keep on going at it and you keep on building that audience, whether it's a small and steady or a big spike, you're going to build an audience. And by the time you get to episode 110, let's say, You're selling houses.
And now you're knocking doors in the real estate example. You're mm-hmm. knocking people's doors and people are like, oh, wait, I know you. I've had that happen with my clients.
Yeah.
I started doing videos for them and they're door knocking. They're like, hey, you're that person from the video. I know you already.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And like, to what Alex is saying, you might not have to get to 110 episodes to do that mm-hmm. because if you're using leads, right? You're going to go and say, you know what? Let me get this real estate agent in here. Mm-hmm. Let me get this other this other person who's into construction and all these different people who are in your field.
Yes.
And now you have contacts with them. You feel me?
That's the gem.
It's a game.
That's the game.
From podcasting, the amount of contacts that I have in my phone, the amount of people that I would not expect that follow me on Instagram that I have conversations with behind the scenes, it's astronomical,
and
bro.
That's how you make it, because your consistency is so much there that the people who are ending up following you on the way, bro, all it takes is for one phone call
mm-hmm.
and you're out of here. That's the Steve Ballmer story. If you never watched an interview with Steve Ballmer, go watch Steve Ballmer's story.
Mm.
The man was roommates with Bill Gates.
Mm.
College. Bill Gates had the smart idea. Hey, I want to create a company named Microsoft. What should I do? Who should I call? Maybe I should call my roommate. And he called him. Bro, the man called him.
Yeah.
See, I was like, nah. Man, call him again, bro. I need you. All right, fine.
Yeah.
The man's at the Clippers games. He just built a new arena for the Clippers. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
That's based off of who you know. That's based off of consistency. And in podding, that's one thing that's a benefit of it.
Mm-hmm.
You get the consistency of content because you're recording one time and you can get 20 clips out of that one thing. So now you're creating a type of consistency where people are always going to see you. Like you said, you have the numbers in your phone and it's just going to be that one person to call. Hey, you know what? I don't want to talk to nobody else right now. I want to talk to you. I'm going to give you the interview because I know you're going to put it.
And I'll be right there because they know I'm going to be here next week after.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying? And that's the game.
The one thing I want to say, because I know like a lot of men then be listening to this, you know, as a grown man, it's so easy to become lonely. It's so easy to get in your silo of work, come home. Maybe you have a girl, maybe you have a youth or two. Work, come home, youth.
Mm.
Right? Bro, you need a networking system. Fuck a podcast. Bro, a podcast is great. Don't get me wrong. But bro, you can do dinners with the homies where you invite people to those dinners.
Mm.
Go to an expensive gym so you're networking with net new people in that gym. Bro, get a networking system. You know what I'm saying? Yo, so I interviewed Paul C. Brunson. This dude worked for two billionaires, Oprah and some German dude. And he said that they both do this one thing. They have dinners. And I'm like, why would you have dinners? And he's like, yo, if you watch the news, you watch what already happened.
Mm-hmm.
But when you are with people in present, you know what's gonna happen in the future. So have a networking system so you can learn about what's going on currently.
Yeah.
That's some of the biggest mistakes I've made. Is I listened to the pause and I was like, oh, that's dope. And some of the things I was taking in, I wasn't even making action on.
Yeah, you're just going back to the crib.
Just going back to the crib. It's like, oh, that was a good one.
That was a good episode, guys.
Good one. That was a banger.
See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow. Dumb shit, bro.
Yeah.
Yo, learn from people around you and then execute on that shit.
So I'm going to take that advice myself because I've become a super shut-in over the years. I go home, edit, make more content. Edit, make more content. That's literally my life most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But that networking thing, I'm taking that advice. Thank you.
If I never networked, I wouldn't be sitting. Bro, this room like this is legendary, bro.
Legendary.
If I never networked, I would not be sitting here right now. That's a fact.
Yeah.
So no, thank it works.
You, man. Word.
And yeah, man, I'm definitely going to take this advice. And I salute you guys for everything that you're doing, man. You know what I'm saying? The podcast is doing great. I enjoy watching the content. I enjoy seeing the clips when they pop up, bro.
Salute.
What's the plans for, we're at the end of 2024. So for 2025, what's the plans?
Man, creating more partnerships, doing events, and doing more like US thought leaders.
Yeah.
You know, like I think what we offer is real, is valuable. And you know, I think the American, like, market wants it.
Yeah.
So I think that's like the next stage is, you know, really getting into the US audience as well as keeping Toronto with me, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I think that's a big thing. And then I'm creating a studio. So Wit Media Studio is about to drop in Oshawa.
Nice.
So if your mans are in Oshawa and trying to record a pod, you know, you can holler at me to come into the pod. So that's going to be a good one. And that's really it. Continuing what we're already doing and building on that. More Dr. Umar's, hopefully.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, man.
And what about you, Isaac?
Yeah, more conversations with this guy, building out the production company. We do anything that you need with the camera, we do. And we're really trying to just kind of focus in on a certain things. So next year, that's what it's going to be. I'm going to be kind of rebranding my company, just doing it way bigger. Everything has already been happening. But it's kind of next year's going to be the time to kind of show, you know, the progression for real, the real progression. And for me, one thing I always do, I go on my stories, I go on my page, I just try to motivate the people. So like I said, you know what I mean? I know what this platform is, and it's very important for me to kind of take every opportunity I get to motivate people to, if there's a dream that you got to chase, if there's an opportunity that you got to take, if there's a shot that you need to shoot, please shoot it. And you know, that's the last thing I want to say for real.
No, man. Salute to y'all, man. Let the people know where to find y'all, man.
Most definitely. You can find me on IG at 247 Hustler, on Twitter, 247 Hustlers. My personal page is Elevated Alexander. That's it. Yes, side of my DM. DMs are open.
And for me, you can find me at IX Toronto on most of the platforms. I think I don't really use everything anymore, but IX Toronto on IG for sure. If you go on my page, you don't see a lot. Just swipe over to the reels. You'll see the work. You'll see a bunch of stuff that we did this year. And please reach out. I'm looking forward to hearing from y'all.
Yeah. Oh, of course, YouTube. Hustle over everything on YouTube.
Mm.
You know, we're on the road to 10K. You know, at 8,000 now. So I'm like almost like, you know, trying to close up the year strong.
Yeah.
Please. Let's get that.
No, we gotta get there, man. Listen, man, big salute. Hustle over everything in the building. Before I get out of here, I want to give a quick salute to the sponsors. Big salute to Diamond Club. Hit them up on their Instagram page, DiamondClub_Canada. Big salute to Steamin' Hot Grabba. Hit them up on their Instagram page, Steamin' Hot Grabba. And big salute to Only Loud. Hit them up on their Instagram page, Only Loud Canada. I want to give us some tunes for the road, man.
Yes, most definitely.
Yes, yeah.
Shout out to you, bro.
Yo, thank you much for having us, man. For real.
Respect.
For real.
I'm trying to find. Thank you, man. Thank you. Is this it? What's that song that? Dun, dun, dun.
Oh
my God, what song is that?
Money, 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 money.
Money.
Let me see if I can find it on YouTube for our listening audience who are still
tapped in. Type in that money, money, money.
Holy. Spotify is not giving it to me, man. They want me to get more specific.
Don't say that out loud.
Oh, I think it is.
Mm. It's the OG. It's not true.
There we go.
Is it? Who's by?
There we go.
Who's by?
The OJs.
OJs.
Close.
But Black Heart is
spotlight. I was trying to say
you love hip hop.
Yes, yo, sir. Man. Get your money right out there, man.
Legally.
Legally. We are off of this, man.
Hey.
We love hip hop.
Hard.
We love hip hop.